Holly G with the Golf Insiders, my very special guest today. All over Golf Channel these last few weeks covering the first major of the year, the Masters, and it's a pleasure to have him on today. Damon Hack, co-host of Golf Today on the Golf Channel. Hey, Damon.
Holly G, happy spring. How are you?
Well, I feel we're here, Damon. It really is special. It was great to be up there last week, and wow, what a tournament. Scottie Scheffler did not disappoint us, did he?
Yeah, the world number one doing world number one things. His second green jacket. Look at that resume. Two Masters, two players, world number one, ball striking the level that we haven't seen since Tiger Woods. And he's a pretty normal dude. It's been fun covering him in the past year or so in my role at NBC as an interviewer. I've interviewed him probably a dozen times, you know, talked to him in Houston when he was runner-up, talked to him and interviewed him after Bay Hill, interviewed him at the Players' Championship. It's just been so cool to see this, you know, young Texan embrace this role as the baddest dude on the block, but he does it in a different way, very humble, self-effacing, just a good, solid guy and an otherworldly golfer.
That ball striking and the way his putting has come around, you got to have good putting on those greens at Augusta National.
No question about it. And it was Rory McIlroy who made the suggestion that he switch from the blade to the mallet, probably second-guessing that decision of helping out the preeminent ball striker to give him some proficiency with the putter. And you're right, that's been a sea change for Scotty, who was winning tournaments, but also was losing some tournaments by a shot or two, and one-shot victories were, you know, the norm as opposed to the blowout win, but for a chilly putter. And now he's got a warm to lukewarm to sometimes hot putter, and that's been making the blowout victories possible. A runaway win, for example, at Bay Hill, a nice win at the Players, and a pretty, you know, a stress-free walk over the last few holes at Augusta. You know, you had some tension there on the first night, and then Scotty just went crazy with the putter and hitting those irons close. And we're seeing someone who, to me, has some staying power. And we've compared players to Tiger before. Rory had his moment 2011-14. Jordan Spieth 2015 was dominant. Dustin Johnson had his purple patch 2017, and of course 2020 winning the Masters for his second major, won that first in 2016 at Oakmont. But Scotty also looks like a player because of the iron play is such a separator that he could be a dominant world number one. We're not just talking weeks and weeks and months, but potentially for years and years.
Well, that would be very exciting for golf. But speaking of a new golfer on the horizon, Ludvig Åberg, is that how you say it? Åberg? Åberg? I should know this. I'm part Swedish.
You nailed it right the first time. Ludvig Åberg is how he's asked us to identify him. 24 years of age, Texas Tech stud, joined John Rahm as the only two winners of the Collegiate Ben Hogan Award. And I tell you what, as someone who is having all these firsts, first major championship appearance, first Ryder Cup appearance, and he looks as though he's been there dozens of times before. Got to speak to him on Wednesday before the Masters at an outing for the Travelers Championship, and he just looked like he was completely comfortable and admitted that, hey, listen, I'm going to be nervous inside the ropes, but I welcome the nerves. I welcome the feeling of wanting to be in contention. But you're talking about someone who's seeing all these golf courses for the first time, having all these experiences for the first time, and my goodness, to perform the way that he has tells you that we're dealing with someone who is very, very special. I got to talk to Annika Sorenstam, the World Golf Hall of Famer, 72-time winner on the LPGA, 10-time major champ. She told me it looks like Ludvig is having fun out there. What a great analysis and perspective from someone who knows what it's like to have that tension inside the ropes. She told me he looks like he is exactly where he wants to be. What a great observation.
On Sunday, when he made that fatal mistake on number 11 and, you know, tried to hit it left of the pin, it was remarkable to just see how he reacted, and he knew it. He, you know, even as young and a rookie playing for the first time in his first major, he was able to just sort of shake it off and smile at the mistake.
Yeah, and I asked him about his game plan going into his first ever major championship, especially at a club like Augusta, where, you know, we think about the eagles and birdies, but they're also catastrophes in doubles. And he told me he expected to have a very conservative game plan, that he would fire away from pins. And he just has an old head on young shoulders, and his ability to bounce back from mistakes. That's one of the stats that the professional golfer treasures. How is your bounce back ability after mistakes? We saw Scottie Scheffler do it. We saw Ludwig do it. And he just seems to be very, very wise beyond his years, how he goes about his business.
Well, someone who has been a little bit of a late bloomer, but has really, I think, captured many golf fans' hearts, and someone I was rooting for to break through, Max Homa. Just couldn't sink the putts on Sunday, Damon, but thought maybe Max was going to bring it home last week.
Yeah, the Cal Golden Bears becoming as popular a player as you'll find. And not just on social media anymore. He's really starting to cut through, seeing some Max Homa commercials airing now during PGA Tour broadcasts. Someone who once needed, what, four straight birdies to get his card and retain it on the Korn Ferry Tour. Look at him now, firmly entrenched in the top 10 and figuring out how to play major championships. I just love the way he describes himself. And listen, he goes, I'm going to have humility out there. I'm going to be grateful. And I'm going to tell myself I'm a dog and I belong out there. What great perspective, the yin and yang, that you can be both humble and also believe you have the goods to take home the biggest trophies in our sport. I think it's only a matter of time before Max Homa breaks through and wins his first major championship. We've seen his great success on the West Coast, and I'm talking about Torrey Pines, Riviera, for example. His skill set, to me, screams U.S. Open. Great ball striker, excellent driver of the golf ball. So I would take a very close look at Max during the U.S. Open at Pinehurst number 2 this June in North Carolina.
Well, and speaking of major winners, another person that we thought might break through, notch his third major, and potentially be in the conversation for career Grand Slam, Colin Morikawa, just didn't quite get it going.
Yeah, he did not. And I talked to him early in the week, and he told me that he actually found a swing thought on Monday when he arrived to Augusta, had not been playing very well the last few weeks, would not reveal what that swing thought was, that he wanted to keep it to himself. But whatever it was, it carried him to a very strong week at Augusta, someone who, by his own admission, has been struggling a little bit. He broke through so quickly for his first major, then his second major. So he wins a PGA at Harding Park, wins an Open, and we're thinking, wow, this guy's just going to keep on winning. And it's been a bit of a struggle. Did win in Japan at the end of 2023 on the PGA Tour. But someone who, you know, has struggled to see, he told me, his preferred ball flight all the time. At Brookline a couple of years ago, he was hitting draws. He still finished inside the top 10 in the U.S. Open. This week at the Masters, he told me he was seeing his customary fade. Told me it wasn't perfect, but at least it was something he could depend on. I just think this is someone who has such high expectations for himself. He can't beat himself up. These players from time to time, Holiday, beat themselves up so often. They have such high expectations. I think they need to be a little kinder and gentler to themselves. They move around a lot. You know, he left his longtime coach, Rick Sessinghouse, for Mark Blackburn. He works with Max Homa. We've seen Victor Hovland leave his coach, Joe Mayo, go to Grant Waite, now looking for, you know, new management. These guys are impatient sometimes. I'd like to see them be a little more patient, even as they carry such weighty expectations.
Well, speaking of expectations, we got to see Bryson DeChambeau with all his power and unconventional approach to the game, had some new irons for the week of the Masters that just got approved before he teed it up. Damon, what was your take on all of that?
Yeah, I mean, this is the scientist is going to be the scientist. These 3D imprinted irons, and a driver by a long drive company named Crank. I actually spoke to one of Bryson's team members, Mike Shy, who has been a longtime coach and consultant of the 2020 U.S. Open champ, who told me that this golf club, the driver in particular, has been a game changer. Bryson creates such incredible ball speed and body speed that it's hard for, you know, your typical driver manufacturer to find a driver that works. So he thought outside the box, as he often does, not just with the irons, but with the driver, and found this 6-degree driver with 8.5 inches of bulge in roll, which has to do with how concave and bent the crown is from across the left to the right, and also from the crown to the sole. And it worked for him, hit the ball exceedingly straight at Augusta. And before that, shot 58 on the LIV Golf Tour with that driver. 10 days after putting it in his bag, Mike Shy told me that Bryson has nicknamed that driver 58, and why not, for the way it operated. Mike told me before the week started, he was telling friends in confidence he believed that Bryson would win the Masters. He was shouting it from the hilltops to anyone who would listen. And he said if he doesn't win the Masters, he will win a major championship for the second time later on this season. He's happy, seems to be more comfortable in his skin, and someone who obviously hits the ball a country mile. So Bryson DeChambeau, according to Mike Shy, not just a flash in the pan this week, but someone with staying power as far as the rest of 2024 is concerned.
Couldn't agree more. And speaking of the majors, the LPGA has their first major underway, Damon. The Chevron Championship out at the Woodlands, north of Houston, Texas. And Nelly Korda looking to make a little noise and some history, potentially with her fifth victory, Damon.
It's amazing, and she's doing it at regular LPGA events in terms of stroke play. She's done it in match play and now trying to do it in the first major championship of the season on the LPGA. This is who Nelly was a few years ago when she won 5 times, if you include the Olympic gold medal, now trying to win an incredible, you know, 5 starts. I mean, this is someone who comes from championship stock. She's got the parents who are great tennis players and the brother and the sister who are great tennis and golf athletes, respectively. This is who Nelly Korda is as the number one player in the world who dealt with injury and a frightening, you know, blood clot. It looked like she was going to be someone to be battling Jin Young Ko for the next decade. Jin Young Ko gets hurt. Nelly Korda gets hurt. Now Nelly is healthy. And I think, Holly G, with a renewed perspective, happy, healthy, thankful for her athletic gifts. No one wants to undergo surgery in their 20s. That's exactly what she did. I think she has a renewed sense of happiness and gratitude, and it's really showing in her golf.
It absolutely is, and she spoke about that roller coaster since 2021, and really how you have to learn to embrace that as an athlete. And we've seen so many golfers go through this. We're, you know, seeing several on the PGA Tour. Justin Thomas comes to mind, where you're at the height of heights and then the low of lows, like you said earlier, searching for something to get your game back on track.
Yeah, absolutely. I think for so many of these players at the height of their power, there's not that much of a difference in terms of skill set. I do think what happens off the course, I do think the mental side of the game, and we're hearing players talk about it, whether it's going to be Wyndham Clark, whether it's Max Homa, you know, go back to Bubba Watson years ago, trying to find some happiness and some mental clarity. I think the skill set at the tippy top is close, but who has the mental kind of grace and just clarity and comfort? That can be a difference maker when you're talking about the best players in the world.
And that's one of the things that I've always said makes golf such a difficult professional sport. Now, a lot of the players now talk about their team and building the team around them. But, you know, at the end of the day, you're going out there, you're the one sinking the putts, you're the one making the paycheck.
no question about it. And these players make no mistake, and you know it, they have teams now. The caddy's a part of the team. Some have mental coaches and folks that are doing, you know, workouts for them. I bumped into Rory McIlroy, Holly G, at the gym in San Antonio Valero, and he had a body guy putting him through the paces before his round of golf. I mean, that's how meticulous and focused these players are, especially when you're trying to seek greatness and historical achievement. They leave no stone unturned.
Got a segment on golfchannel.com that Rory is determined to get to the top of his game again. What were your takeaways from his performance at Augusta? I mean, he went through this whole new routine to try to shake things up. I got the chance to walk six holes with him when he was practicing by himself Wednesday afternoon. What were your thoughts on Rory and where his game's at?
Yeah, I just feel like the mountain he's trying to climb to complete the career Grand Slam at Augusta National, which has never been done before in this era of social media and microphones and questions coming to him every single year. And he's come at it in different ways. He beefed up the schedule this year, played Valero at San Antonio for only the third time in his career, added the Palm Beach tournament for the first time since 2018. So he wanted to be match tough. He's come at the Masters talking about it. He's come at the Masters minimizing it. He's come at the Masters in great form. He's come at the Masters in poor form. I think this year he was just searching a little bit. Sought the advice of Butch Harmon a few weeks before the Masters. Not a bad thing, but maybe it told you that he wasn't completely comfortable. I just don't think Rory McIlroy was as completely sharp with his game as he wanted to be. I know he wasn't sharp in terms of the misses that he was having in February and a little bit into early March, and was starting to see the misses become less and less pronounced, but I just don't think he was as sharp as a knife, as sharp as he needed to be, which you're going to have to be, especially on that golf course, but especially him with all of the pressure and the questions and the eyeballs on him as he tries to complete what is a huge, huge task in our game, which is to become the sixth man to complete the career Grand Slam and to do so at Augusta National.
Speaking of eyeballs, Damon, Sports Business Journal reported Tuesday that the network drew 9.5 million viewers on Sunday. It was the lowest viewership since Hideki won in 2021. And prior to that, the lowest since 1993. What's your take on this? You know, is this because a lot of people are moving to streaming and we're not seeing those numbers? What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think we're still trying to figure out how do you kind of chart those streaming numbers in terms of the metrics on the numbers of the ratings, because I, for one, was in my car. My wife was driving. We were driving from Georgia to Florida so my boys could do their tennis camp this week, but we were following on streaming. I talked to some other folks that were on masters.com following the coverage on streaming. So,
and I was one as well in my vehicle.
There you go. So the traditional way we track Nielsen ratings, and they could say, well, it was 20% down from a year ago and the lowest since Hideki. I think they're still figuring out how do you chart those numbers and maybe take kind of a complete total figure as opposed to just the old linear way of doing it, which is following the CBS model. There were a lot of people following. We got people on iPads and phones and they're mobile. You know, no one just sits at home for 5-6 hours on a weekend anymore. You got to go to the store. You got to go handle kids. You got to do different things. And now you have the ability to take your phone with you and keep track of shots and keep track of featured hole coverage and live broadcast coverage on your phone. So I would be guessing that those numbers are better than the numbers that were given in terms of simply the CBS rating.
Agree with you. And of course, you guys have just such tremendous in-depth coverage around the major championships. And of course, Peacock continues to grow and adding more programming as well. So we've got opposite field events this weekend. Damon. We have the RBC Heritage in Hilton Head, Harbortown Golf Links, near and dear to my heart. I broke 80 there for the first time when I was a junior golfer, Damon. And then we've got the Corrales Punta Cana.
Good to see Wesley Bryan playing so well. He's out there in Corrales Punta Cana. This is a great opportunity for players that aren't in a signature event to make their way into the big time. And of course, this is interesting that Wesley Bryan playing so well opposite of the RBC Heritage, which is his lone PGA Tour victory. That's exactly where it came at the RBC Heritage several years ago. So yeah, you're right. Great opportunity to have two PGA Tour events. And then of course, a signature event right by the Calabogie Sound in beautiful Hilton Head, South Carolina.
Absolutely love, love me the Calabogie Sound. So it's time, Damon, to throw your dart. First of all, I can't believe Scotty is playing this week. I thought he'd put his feet up, but I guess he's going to have plenty of time for that when he has his baby in a couple weeks. Who are you picking for the two PGA events that'll conclude on Sunday?
I'm going to ride the hot hand in Wesley Bryant in the Dominican. And I'll tell you what, you know who's playing pretty well this week is Colin Morikawa. He's, on the first page of the leaderboard. And I think he's going to carry that great ball striking that he had at Augusta. I think he's found something, even if he didn't tell me what it was. So go ahead and say Wesley Bryan down in the beautiful Caribbean. And I'm going to go with Colin Morikawa, the two-time major champ in South Carolina.
I love it, that tartan plaid jacket that they give out on Sunday. Well, Damon, we always appreciate spending time with you, and tell my listeners how they can tune in to Golf Today.
Yeah, check us out. I'll be back in studio noon Eastern time on Monday opposite Eamon Lynch. I've been on the road so much since February that I had not been in studio for quite some time, so looking forward to noon Eastern time Monday. Golf Today, Golf Channel headquarters, or HQ, as George Savarikas likes to call it, Stanford CT.
Love it, my friend. Always appreciate your time. Damon Hack from Golf Today and the Golf Channel.